Oh, good morning, Valley Church. Man, I was just, as we were worshiping and at the close of worship, thinking, oh, I'm grateful for so many things when I just look around this room and think, thank you, Lord. It feels so good to be in the house of the Lord, doesn't it? Were you stirred in worship this morning? Stirred in your, felt a stirring in your spirit, and then just an incredible, oh. Well, I see about six of you going, yeah. It's like, why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, it feels good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Now turn the other way and say, it feels good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Now let's just say together, I am blessed. Yes, you are, and I bless each and every one of you. And I know you're going to be even further blessed with the Word of God this morning that's coming through three different speakers, three and a half different speakers. You know, every month that has five Sundays, we have something that we've called for the last 10, 12 years, the Three Amigos. Well, there was a couple of hand claps. Who is ready for the Three Amigos this morning? Yeah. Yes, well, let's get ready for the Word of God this morning from three and a half different mouths. Three speakers and one closer. How's that? Three speakers and an incredible closer that's going to bring the closing this morning. This first speaker is a man of God who is one of these tough Marines to start with, and then a party animal shortly thereafter for the next number of years, and turned his life around just a little over, right around 3 years ago, to become a powerful man of God that's involved in so many areas of the church right now. It's just like an incredible blessing he is. Anointed, powerful man of God. I don't see him out here, but I'm sure he's here somewhere. I want to welcome to the platform here to give this... Everybody, let's hear it for Clint Adams this morning. Father, I thank you for Clint. I thank you for the word that you've given him for today. I thank you for the power and authority that he walks in. I'll just say, use him today in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I might better find a Kleenex before I get started. How many are here at Valley for the first time today? Well, this is my first time preaching, so... You're going to get broken in somehow or another. Me too. You know, I'm going to start off before I get to the steak and potatoes of what I feel like the Lord's given me today. A little bit of my background. Our father doesn't always play fair. My mom gave me to Jesus before I was born. But... I grew up in a very churchy home. My father was a minister. And I learned about God as a punishing, harsh judge. And I decided at a fairly young age that I could never be good enough to get to heaven. And decided that I was going to live my life so I'd have a good seat in hell. And I lived like that for over 50 years. I rebelled against every authority that was in my life, with the exception of 6 years I spent in the Marine Corps. I actually did have to submit my will to the people over me. But, you know, I grew up, my earthly father, I can never do anything good enough to be worthy of his praise. And I had no idea how that would affect me in my life until way later. And I'm just very grateful that our Heavenly Father is not like the God I learned about as a child. And today, I'm going to talk about worthiness. I serve in the healing rooms here at Valley, and it is a very common misconception that we have, is that we're not worthy of our Father in Heaven's love. And, you know, I could actually spend my whole 15 minutes reading you scripture telling us that we are worthy. You know, it starts in Genesis, I believe it's 1:27. God created us in his image, both male and female. And, you know, that makes us worthy of his love. And last time I got up here, I relied on my cell phone, and it went dead on me. This time, I did remember to charge it up. So, I'm going to start Psalms 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And, you know, that's our Father talking to David. You know, he praised Jesus. And David wasn't perfect. We all know that. I mean, he was an adulterer. He sent a lady's husband to die in war. But he was chosen by God. And he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. I'm going to jump to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance for us to do. And, you know, as Pastor Lynn introduced, I spent the majority of my life as an alcoholic drug addict. About the only thing I never did was shoot heroin. And probably the only reason for that, I mean, I'd rather fist fight the biggest guy in this room than have a 5-foot-tall nurse come at me with a needle. Because I take a nap as soon as that needle hits my skin. I'll go out cold. Otherwise, I probably would have tried it. And, you know, I'm grateful today because I can say I used to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. There's a couple of my old drinking buddies that are here today, and I'm glad you're here. Makes me cry because I know what God can do for us. And he wants to do that for every one of us that's still out there. And we've lived the life. We know how hard it is to stop. I mean, it took me 5 DUIs to, and then I still didn't learn. I was out drinking, driving more. I just didn't get caught the last time. And 3 years ago this week, I'm going to tell you how Jesus found me, real quick. My friend, everybody called him Felony Phil, was riding his motorcycle 100 mile an hour down the freeway and missed the exit and died at the scene. And I was pretty torn up by that. Anyway, he and his sister had been fighting about their inheritance. Their mother had passed away the previous Christmas, and they hadn't spoken for about 3 months, maybe a little longer. She came up from New Mexico to settle his affairs and, you know, was just devastated that her and her brother weren't on good terms when he passed. And anyway, I was talking to her, and I said, well, I know where there's this church you can go to. They'll pray for you, and you'll come out of there feeling better. And she says, well, I don't know anybody. I said, well, I'll go with you. And, I mean, I smoked a big fat joint on the way to the church and was sitting in the what we call the prayer room because I knew I'd be a little while waiting. And somehow or another, the Holy Spirit broke through the fog in my brain and said, hey, maybe you ought to fill out a piece of paper. Let them pray for you, too. And 3 years ago today, if you would have told me that I'd be standing in front of a church talking about the Lord, I'd have laughed you clear off the bar stool you were sitting next to me on. Isn't that right, Ken? And there's nothing in this world that our Father cannot do. There's one thing that he will not do, and that's interfere with our free will. And that, my friends, is the key to worthiness, is our will, or shall I say, our willingness to submit to his will. Because that's all we have to offer. We're all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He tells us that in his word. But his love is sufficient. Romans 8:30, or actually that's not quite the, it's like 37, 36, somewhere in there. Most profound proof that we are worthy of God's love. Love does not come with strings. Why do we feel unworthy? Our shortcomings, flaws in our character, mistakes. His love is vast and encompassing. Even when we stumble, his love stands from, can't read my own writing. But we are never beyond redemption. And, you know, all of us know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And, you know, that is love. Those of us that have children, we know how much we love our kids. But, you know, our love for our children compared to God's love is like dipping a thimbleful out of the Snake River at high water. His love is immense, and it has no conditions. Oh. A big obstacle in our path of being worthy is unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive other people, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, his judgment will be upon you. He will not forgive you. And that's tough for us sometimes. I lived a great deal of my life with unforgiveness towards my father, my earthly father. And it wasn't until I got to the healing rooms and a very precious friend of mine, Dave, says, "You never forgive your father, have you?" "No, I don't think I can." And he says, "Well, let's pretend I'm your father. I'm sorry for everything I did for you. Will you forgive me?" And it broke through my heart, and I actually became able to forgive my father. And was the start of my breakthrough. I got another lesson on that later in life. I have a younger brother that actually we haven't spoken for a time. And years ago, he stole a substantial amount of material that I had bought and sold them to somebody else. I didn't know about it till I went to get some of the pieces I needed. My whole pile was gone. And I actually talked to our mom, and I said, "You know, this is the last straw." And she agreed that I probably should prosecute him. I talked to a couple of friends of mine that said, "Yeah, you need to." Well, as I was on my way down to the prosecutor's office, I called Pastor Lynn, and he says, "Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Would it do Boyd any good?" And I thought, "Well, probably not." "Would it do you any good?" I said, "Well, wouldn't get my money back, wouldn't get my boards back, and it would actually bring sorrow on Mom, so no, wouldn't do me any good." And he says, "Well, then you need to forgive and forget." And I said, "Well, I might be able to forgive, but that forgetting part." And he said, just one sentence, he says, "Aren't you glad Jesus isn't like that?" Boy, I mean, and that was way before I ever even thought about trying to follow Jesus. I mean, but that stuck with me. And, you know, so true that we have to forgive and forget. And that is such a stumbling block for so many people. You know, God's healing is awaiting for any and all of us. But if we don't have forgiveness in our heart, that's like trying to fill your cup with the lid on top. You just can't get anything in it. And I stole that from Pastor. That wasn't an original. But you know, I am so grateful today to our Heavenly Father that He is the kind, loving, gentle Father that a lot of us didn't have growing up. I did have a wonderful mom. Aunt Betty's my mom. And I am so glad that she gave me to Jesus before I was born. And it took 64 years for him to round me up. But he gathered the whole flock in. And, you know, I'll never forget my greatest encounter with the Lord was riding in a tractor in a field and hearing him tell me, "I want both eyes and both ears." And somehow I listened, I guess. Because ever since then, you know, nothing the Lord does surprises me anymore. I just stay completely, totally amazed. And with that, I thank you all for putting up with me and listening. I love you.
Yeah, it's awesome. A great word, wasn't it? It's like, that puts a little hope in everyone's heart, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, if Clint can do it, so can I. No. Yeah, I remember seeing him in the back of the church when he first came. And it's like, oh, Lord, what is he doing here? But again, I say, you know, it's amazing what God has done in his life and how God uses him now because of the experiences that he has, because of what he's been through. God can use him in mighty ways once he fully submitted to God in his way. Like, your will, not my will, be done. Are you ready for the next speaker? We've gone from one extreme to the other. This one is, this young man was raised in the church, this church. Clint has been to 2 years of Valley School of Supernatural Ministry, where his life was really radically changed. And he's grown so much. Again, you see, this young man has been a part of Valley Church his entire life. And he is Mr., oh my goodness, whatever we need, he can do. He's on that keyboard back there on a regular basis, like every Sunday morning. So I gave you a big hint right there, but he's also going to be teaching in VSSM this year, one of the teachers. He's a third-year graduate, and I just want to welcome to the stage and hand this microphone off to the most amazing young man that's still single, by the way, Jared Arias. I'm sure. Yeah, I am so proud of this young man, from who he is, what he does, and what he's willing to do. He indeed, at Valley Church, is the servant of all.
Thank you, Pastor Lynn. Well, I was going to introduce myself, but I think he took care of that, so. But I'm excited. Last time I spoke was in November, so it's nice to be back up here with everyone. And I was so encouraged when Clint asked who's new. So thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I'm sure there's people online as well. Good to see you, Dr. Mike Smalley. Pleasure to have you in the house. Shout out to my friend Yvonne from Casa de Gloria. He's talked to me for the last 3 months, I think it is, to acknowledge him. So I see you. He'll be here later today. But as Pastor Lynn said, I grew up here. This is home. I've been here all of my life, and it's such a wonderful place to be when you know the Lord's called you someplace, and you can say, this is home. This is home. I wanted to take a second to promote VSSM. So you've heard from Clint. He's a second-year student. It was just over 10 years ago I did my first year of VSSM. And there's so much joy I found in that season, but the Lord took me last night into greater intentionality than I was planning. I was just going to tell you, do it, it's awesome, but I wound up writing down some things that I thought were really important to share with regards to VSSM. So I'm just going to take a few minutes before I get started with the message, but VSSM has taught me so many things. Obviously, I'm here today standing before you, and that's part of the fruit, but my journey to that had started much earlier in life. I used to intern here throughout the summers of my youth as much as I could, and there was a lot of fun in that, but 10 years ago, I was just coming through and out of a season of depression. My family was going through lots of different medical issues, and in that space, I was having a lot of difficulty finding hope for my future when my scholarships, my schooling, and my ambition for life started failing, and so in that place, I knew God had plans for me, but I wasn't sure what those were, and I was having a hard time with definitively saying, this is my purpose, or this is my calling. But fast forward, I heard the still small voice of the Lord say, apply for VSSM. And I'm like, cool, someone else is going to do that, that's going to be great. But that thought kept burning in me over and over and over. Someone would talk about it, and I'm like, yeah, apply for VSSM, that's good, that's good. But there was this fear behind my response. I didn't want to commit, but I decided to take the risk. I had to do this. And I had no idea financially how I was going to make things happen. I just knew I had to say yes. This is what God was asking me to do. Shortly after, I got accepted and began working as much as I could here at the church and other places to help support that season. But there wasn't any stress behind that. In fact, I found much greater joy and peace than I was expecting. And as Steve Backlund says, I was unreasonably optimistic about the world in front of me. There is something about being in the midst of a powerful environment that was calling me higher and inspiring me with hope that gave me so much more peace than I was previously expecting and gave me a joy and an expectancy for God to move. But in that space, I started gaining ambition for life again. And despite all the thoughts I had about my past failures, shortcomings, or disqualifications, the love of God started reaching my heart deeply and beautifully, and I started gaining vision for the future for my life again of how to move forward into his purpose and his passions. And within a couple of months, a major shift happened in my life. I got hired here on staff at Valley Church, and all these deliberations I had in my mind to reason through why I couldn't be here and why I shouldn't, the Lord melted those away with his love. And in that space, I just want to encourage you. It's been almost 10 years now since I've been in VSSM. I did 3 years, and I enjoyed every single one of it, but it didn't just teach me skills for ministry or good theology that Christians should have. It showed me how to operate with the Holy Spirit and to live as a son of God. And that, in and of itself, is so much more important than what we do. It's just who we are. Who are you? It's one of the biggest questions that you'll have to answer in your lifetime. Some of us have the answer. Some of us are still figuring that out. But I just wanted to encourage you. Last year, I became an instructor, and it's been fun raising up the next generation of students. But in that same space, God is good. He has so much in store for you. And I say all of this, I would recommend anyone to consider who feels like there's got to be more to their walk with the Lord. There has to be more than the cycles of mundane familiarity with life. And there's more to the dreams that are in your heart. If you feel that and if you resonate with that, this is my encouragement, is take the risk. Take the first step. Sign up for first year of your experience. Excuse me. Sign up for first year VSSM and experience for yourself what it is to know that you know that you know who you are. And live that way every single day. But I just wanted to take that minute to encourage you. If you're considering, by all means, please do. We have Pastor Rich, whom I respect so much, who's the dean of our school. You're going to be in good hands this year. But I want to transition into my message today. And I was pondering with the Lord what to call this, and I refined it, refined it, refined it. And then this morning I woke up, and it's like, ah, that's what it is. So the message today is going to be hidden in the light. Someone say your creation story. We're going to go Psalm 193. This is my favorite psalm. We're going to start at verse 13. And it says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Verse 14. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Verse 15 is the highlight. "My frame was not hidden from you." Someone say hidden. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed from me, when as yet there were none of them." That's one of my all-time favorite psalms, not just for the sake of the poetry or how romantic it is, but rather for the sake of God's intentionality behind your design. You are created with purpose and intentionality, and you're dreamed from the heart of God in this sacred space. It's just the two of you. This space is hidden from the rest of the world. There's no prying eyes. It's literally just the Lord and you. In fact, in your creation story, you lacked hiddenness from God. There's nothing that you could do to separate yourself in that space. And there is nothing that the world could do to uncover the beauty and the majesty of your relationship with your Creator. And here's the thing, God wants us to be hidden with him. There's an active invitation to find yourself literally abiding with the Lord in hiddenness. And I'm really excited to go into this next part, but the reason why I started with that verse is it's so intricately important. If we don't start with the intentionality of who we are, we lose track of where we're going. We don't know what our vision is for the future. We don't know how to proceed. And I think it's so important that we start from this place. But I had you say, my creation story. Look at someone else and say, our creation story. They might not have listened, so tell the person on the other side, our creation story. It sounds like you guys are waking up, so I'm excited about that. I'm just going to recap the Genesis story. So most of us are familiar. In the beginning, God created. We go through 7 days of creation. On the seventh day, God rests. But lo and behold, God creates mankind in his own image. And in this beautiful Garden of Eden, I'm going to fast forward here to Genesis 3, but the stage is being set for the fall of man, where all of a sudden we fall into temptation. We lose track of who we are, and we give up something incredibly important to us. So this is Genesis 3, starting at verse 6. So it says, "So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Verse 7. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, and he said to him, 'Where are you?'" Point to your neighbor and say, "Where are you?" Verse 10. "And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself.'" Verse 10. "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." That's not the same level of hiddenness that we talked about earlier. The Lord has seen your unformed substance. He knows exactly who you are. There's nothing offensive or shameful to him about the nature of your creation, because it was in his extravagance and his brilliance and his creativity that he formed your substance. Your frame was never intended to be hidden from the Lord. Genesis 1:27 tells us God created mankind in his image. You are an image bearer of God. You look like him. That's by design. That's by intentionality. You carry something about you that is heavenly, intrinsically, to your nature and to your value. And there's something incredibly sacred about that. The Lord dreamt of you and created you in a place that was away from the eyes of man so that he alone would delight over you. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." What does that mean? It means he sees everything. He knows everything. There isn't any hiding from the Lord, but he's present. He's with you. He sees you and he understands you. So when did we start thinking it was okay to leave the covering and the acceptance of the Lord? Why did we start putting on our own covering? When sin entered the picture, why did we believe that God wouldn't accept us as is? Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, not because it looked especially good. There's plenty of fruit that they know were amazing. I wish I had the same level of discernment for apples and as I do for, or excuse me, I wish I had the same level of discernment for mangoes as I do for apples. You know it's good, but the Lord hasn't revealed that revelation to me that what's good and what's not. But they already knew what was good to eat. They ate of it instead because they listened to the voice that says in verse 5 that they could be like God. They would be wise like God and have eyes open to good and evil. But here's the first thing. They were already like God. They bore his image and his likeness. That's by design. There's no taking that away. Point 2, they walked with the Lord. That's one of my favorite things about the Genesis story is the intimacy of Adam and Eve and the Lord. They are walking in the cool of the day with God. It's not just a father sending his children into the world and saying, good luck. It's, I'm here and I'm present. I'm teaching you and I'm showing you. They had access to God and his wisdom and his truth. They don't need to supplement that with anything else. There wouldn't be any need. And point 3, they don't need to have eyes to see good and evil. God had supplied everything for them that they needed. There was nothing else that needed to be added, nothing for them to want or to have. Everything was already for them. But here's the thing, that's the wisdom of man. It robs us of our image and our identity that we bear. The wisdom of God is the source of everything that the wisdom of man tries to rob from us. That's literally your intentionality, your creation, your purpose, your identity. It's the battles of wisdom. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I don't know about you, but that sounds rather familiar. There's something about us being vulnerable before the Lord. I can't put on enough covering to hide what I've done before him. And he isn't asking me to. He's asking me to come exactly as I am, to bear what I have, who I am, and all that I've done before him. The proposal here is not to shrink away from the Lord or attempt to cover ourselves with the creations we make, with the fig leaves that we sew together to hide our shame, but instead to trust the word of the Lord and to go back to the places of hiddenness with him. 1 John 5-10, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The invitation now is to walk in the light as he is in the light. We repent of the sin that robbed us of our heritage in him and shamed us into trying to cover up who we are in front of each other. Instead, we put on the covering of his identity, being confident as children who know the truth of their origins and the love within their creation. That's the thing. Confidence can be deceiving and something we put on for appearance. It's the wisdom of man again. You ever see someone walk into the room and they're just the most confident thing ever, but you can tell it's just a facade. It's just a front. They're hiding behind their bravado because they don't know who they are. You don't have to be the most anointed person in the room, but if you're hiding behind your anointing, then you're hiding from everyone around you. You're still in the dark. It doesn't matter how gifted or talented you are, what you possess, your upbringing, your scholarly mind does not qualify you to to walk in darkness. It's the will of the Lord that we walk in the light together. That's the thing. True confidence looks like healthy vulnerability. Being able to present personal failure and shortcomings without hiding or falling into shame. And as I was pondering on that thought, the Lord brought someone to mind whom you're all familiar with. I was thinking about this, and like, the person that I think of that models this the best in my life is Pastor Lynn. There's something about his vulnerability that he invites you into his story, into his journey. And I've grown up listening to him share openly the things that he wouldn't otherwise be proud about, but by the grace of God, he always shares. By the grace of God, the Lord has called him into such beautiful things. He has redeemed his past. And that's the thing. We are all in that same boat. But when you walk confidently in the light, when you expose your soul to the world, when you state what God has done by his grace and his mercy, you glorify the Lord within you, and you walk as a confident son and daughter around. I wanted to close by inviting everyone to think about this. What's preventing me from being hidden with the Lord? What are the things that are keeping me in the dark? Why am I hiding from the light? What's holding me back from freedom? I'm going to pray over us and we'll transition to the next person. But I want to encourage you guys. There is so much more to your journey than what you've gone through. You are created with greatness in mind, with intentionality, with purpose and resolve. And the Lord is openly extending his hand to invite you into the freedom that you were always created for and the confidence of a child who knows that they're loved and doesn't just know that they're loved, but knows that and knows and knows and continually knows that they're loved. That level of confidence is something we all have access to. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you are delivering us from the deception of shame and fear. God, we just rebuke the wisdom of man. In fact, we let go of our own rights to cover ourselves. And instead, God, I just thank you that you're inviting us back into vulnerability, back into hiddenness. We won't shrink away from what you have for us, God, but instead we will boldly walk into the things that you are asking us to walk into. God, I thank you for filling us with holy confidence. And God, I thank you that we're going to start walking and thinking like a child who knows that they're loved. And Lord, I thank you that you're hiding us within yourself once again. And Lord, I thank you that we're learning how to be hidden in the light. So in Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
That was amazing. Jared, you made me cry. What was that statement that you made about true vulnerability before? That's something that I was ready to grab my phone to write down, and then I lost track of everything when you started talking about me and started crying. So it's like,
yeah, I can read that.
Read that again.
Yeah, true confidence looks like healthy vulnerability. Being able to present personal failure and shortcoming without hiding or falling into shame.
Is that not incredible? Is that powerful right there? Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. That's when we really love one another, when we can actually do that. It's like, let's again give Jared a big hand of appreciation and how much we love and value. Thank you, Jared. Composure again. This next speaker, I'm just really, really, really excited for as well. I was just talking with her the other day, and she started sharing her testimony. And someone who's been in ministry for probably 20 years came to VSSM and shared with me some of the revelation and what she received from VSSM. And I said, oh, goodness, this is not just a VSSM ad trying to promote. It was an incredible vision and experience. And so I just want to invite to the stage now someone that you're going to recognize very quickly. Kim Stiefel, would you come up here? Not only a worship leader, one that leads us into the presence of God and hosts the presence so well, but someone who is very eloquent with her speech and her ability to communicate. Are you making fun of me now?
No, I'm saying I hope so.
Her incredible ability to communicate what God has shown her and expressed to her, and I just like, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this family, for this young lady right here. And I am so grateful for who she is, what she represents, and the understanding that she has of who she is in Christ. And I bless you and hand you this microphone and say, do it, girl.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Are you surprised to see me up here as an amiga? Same. I am surprised as well. Hold on. Let me get out my notes. Let's see, how much time do we have? No, I'm just kidding. These are my notes. So when Pastor asked me to share this, I thought, oh goodness, this was yesterday afternoon. And I thought, I don't have much time to prepare. And I just felt like God said, you just need to share from your heart. And yes, this is a plug for VSSM, but it's really just to talk about the goodness of God and how he used VSSM to grow me, to teach me, to go deeper. So some of the things that I learned through my first year of VSSM were things like, I knew about these things, but this was like a deeper teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the prophetic part of it. It taught me a lot of deeper things about the prophetic. I didn't realize, like, the proper way to use it and how to really trust the Lord in it. Words of knowledge. There was a weekend we did prophetic art with Marietta Wright. That was amazing. We actually did prophetic art for each other in our class. And that was beautiful. It scared me at first because I'm like, I'm not that great of an artist. But it was beautiful the way God worked through each other in that. We had a weekend where there was dreams and interpretation of dreams with Leslie. Sorry, I forgot her last name. That was amazing as well because I've always wondered. I've had some dreams and like, what are the interpretations? Like, how do we know? What are the symbols, symbolism and all of that? A session on beliefs by the Backlands. And just our identity, which is phenomenal. You all know that because you hear the Backlands from time to time. Humility, honor, worship, effective prayers, deeper in the Word, how to study the Word deeper. Pastor Rich stories, which are amazing, of his life stories that are really just build your faith to believe God for more. Encountering God's love, outreach, that really stretched me. I've done outreach before, but in this kind of setting, the things that we had learned about the prophetic and words of knowledge we're actually putting into practice. And then a community. Obviously, community is phenomenal with VSSM. And as I look out, I see some of my brothers and sisters that were in first year with me. And I know you're praying for me right now, and I thank you for that. It actually chokes me up because they do become like brothers and sisters to you. And you're going deeper with God. With them. And so then when you come to church, you have this camaraderie, you have this family that's with you. So VSSM built my faith to believe God for more and build my faith that I could actually partner with God and step into the more, that God would use me more than I ever imagined. And growing up, some of you know my story, some of you don't. My whole childhood, my teenage years, even into my early adult years, I had such an insecurity in me, a fear of man, fear of what people thought, but like just a major insecurity in myself. I had self-hatred, a lot of that stuff that I dealt with. So what I'm about to share with you is important to me because it revealed to me how much God loves me, and he wants to reveal that to you as well. So he also taught me that I'm very powerful. And it's not just for me. It's for every one of you. Every one of you are powerful. It also taught me different tools and resources that God has given us, that he's given me. You know, in 2 Corinthians, I haven't memorized, but I'm, you know, when you're up here and you see all these eyes, you're like, am I going to remember it? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. If you don't know, there's a good chance you might have a stronghold in your life that's holding you back from the more of God. And the tools that you learn, the resources that you learn with God, especially helping through VSSM, is to help demolish those strongholds and to take captive every thought and make it obedient unto Christ. I didn't even need my glasses for that, and I brought my glasses up here. It's just powerful stuff. And so the thing that I should head into now is what Pastor really wanted me to share. I had an encounter with God. So, you know, VSSM starts out in September-ish, and then, right, or August, September. It goes all the way till end of May. And so you're learning. Your faith is growing. And you're realizing you're having these connections with God. Yes, you do have homework in VSSM, but it's beautiful. And throughout this book, these are all the notes from our classes. There's extra notes in here as well. But just going through it last night, all the underlining of all the amazing, amazing things that I learned from the videos we watched and the conversations we had in class and what we learned from Pastor Rich, Pastor Matthew, just incredible things. That's why I actually brought this book up here, is to show you. You get this book, and it's full of incredible things that you can keep forever and ever. But the thing that the Lord taught me the most through VSSM was about my identity in Christ. And I'd already started learning this before VSSM. But as I was going throughout the year, it was about March when we were in Pastor Matthew's class that night on a Thursday night. And he said, you know what, we're going to put on some worship music, just instrumental worship music. And I just want you to kind of spread around the room. If you want to lay on the floor, lay on the floor. If you want to sit in a chair, whatever you want to do. And so we all scattered around the room and he turned on the music. And he just said, now I just want you to focus on Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. And then I just want you to ask him, Father, or Jesus, or Holy Spirit, where do you want to take me right now? And I thought that was an interesting question, because I don't usually ask him that. But I just thought, okay, we're going to go into this here. So I closed my eyes. I was actually laying on the floor face down. I said, where do you want to take me? And instantly, he gave me a vision. As I'm laying there, I see myself at Mounds Park, which is in Indiana, which is where we lived for 10 years. I was walking in Mounds Park with Jesus. He was right next to me. And we came to this specific part and there was woods all around us. And we came to this specific part and Jesus stopped and he just went like this to me. And as he did that, all these animals came out of the forest. I'm a huge animal lover, by the way. But as they came out, they looked at Jesus, they recognized Jesus, and then they looked at me like they knew me, like all attention. And I thought, whoa, like they act like they know me. And I knew they knew Jesus. He was their king. But they looked at me and they recognized me. The very next thing, I'm walking with Jesus to a castle. Jesus has on this amazing royal outfit. He's royalty, the king, like the king. He's wearing this kingly outfit with a crown. And I'm walking with him, like my arm is through his, he's escorting me. And I'm dressed in this beautiful gown, this royal gown with this crown on my head. I looked like a princess or a queen. And we were walking to this castle. And then it flips again, and I'm actually coming out from the castle into the courtyard of the castle, and I'm walking on this runway. And I'm walking out, and I'm in this royal gown with this beautiful crown, and I just look so regal and, like, so confident. And I'm walking out this runway, and I see all these peasants. And I stopped the Lord, and I was like, whoa, that feels weird, Lord, because these are peasants, and I feel like I'm royalty, and this feels weird, like I'm above them. And he said, no, these are my people, and you are part of the kingdom, and I want you to speak life into these people, my people, kingdom people. I want you to teach them or show them identity, who they are, so they can begin to see themselves in this position. I felt so honored in that moment that God would think of me like that, that he would use me like that. And then it flips again, and we're starting to go up into the sky, into the clouds, and we're going up and up and up. And at first I thought, Jesus, is this me or is this you? Like, am I making this up? And he said, you can stop it at any time or you can continue. And I was like, let's go. The next thing I know, I'm in heaven. I see Father God on his throne. And I see Jesus on his throne. And then to the right of Jesus, I'm sitting on a throne with my hands on the arms of the throne, with my royal gown and my beautiful crown, and Jesus is next to me, and Father God, and they look so amazing. And I knew in that moment that I was only there because Jesus gave me the right to be there, that he made me worthy to be sitting next to him. And I felt so confident, so powerful. And then I knew the enemy was under my feet. I all of a sudden just knew, and this authority came over me, this confidence and this authority. You know, the scripture says in Luke 10:19, Jesus says to us, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. That's a promise. He's given us authority. And I saw it in that moment as I'm sitting on that throne. If you can bring up Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. Ooh, I gotta hurry. Ephesians 1, 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, all the believers, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do you ask for that on a regular basis? I do. It's so important. So that you may know him better. The Holy Spirit, he searches the deep things of God on our behalf to give us this wisdom and discernment. Okay, next verse. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That's number one. The hope to which he has called you. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what your calling is? Sometimes it's many different purposes. Maybe it's a season of purpose, and then there's another season of purpose. But this is all part of this. This is part of our inheritance. The riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people. We have an inheritance as royalty, as children of God. We are created in his image. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength and power he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, and everything was placed under his feet. So here I am sitting in heavenly places knowing, and Father's like, this is where you pray from. This is where you pray from. Because down there, everything looks small. And up here, God is so big. Jesus is so big. And so that was a lesson for me. You know, we're walking in dark days. We've got AI. We've got Muslims. We've got all kinds of things that are happening. I don't need to tell you all the things. Our food, poison in our food and water and everything, right? It can feel very overwhelming. It can feel very fearful. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to feel. But you don't have to buy into that. You don't have to believe the lies, the deception that he's showing us, because we know the one who is victorious in the end. We are those people. We are the body of Christ that rises up and takes our authority in Christ, and we tell the enemy where he can go and what he can do, right? So when the Lord was showing me this, and this is a plug for VSSM, yes, but also you can do this on your own if you can't do VSSM, right? You can learn these things on your own with God. You can seek it out. But he says, you can have as much of me as you want. How much do you want? And this, I mean, I'm speaking to myself here too. It says, daily getting on my face before the Lord, glorifying his name, worshiping him, and then just saying, what do you have for me today, Father? What do you want me to know today, Father? What do you believe in me? What do you see in me? What do you want to give me today? Because it's not about us. It's not about our agendas. I'm so quick sometimes to say, okay, God, I've got to hurry up and get going. So maybe 30 minutes here praying or 10 minutes praying or maybe just praying on the way to work. And all of that's fine and dandy. But if we don't get on our face before the Lord, if we don't ask him, what is the agenda for today? We miss out on amazing things. You know, I was talking about all the things that are going on in the world, but these tools, these resources that God gives us, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What are those resources? Oh, there's many. There's many. There's the Word of God. There's prayer. Those are the obvious ones, right, that we need to go to daily. But there's so much more. There's things he wants to teach the body of Christ, because as we are in these dark days, it looks like the witches and warlocks know everything. But they don't need to know everything, because we are the believers. We are connected to Christ. We are part of the creator of the universe that created all things. So I want to encourage you today. Whether you do VSSM or not, it's a beautiful thing. I promise you won't regret it. I encourage you to go after the heart of God. It's not about what you can get from him. Please don't misunderstand me. It's about knowing him, getting to know the heart of the Father, and then he gives you things in response. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He gives you words of knowledge. He gives you the prophetic. He gives you dreams. He gives you all kinds of things. There's many more things, healing, that we don't even have time to go into because he's so full of goodness. He's so full of power. He's so full of authority. We are not meant to walk this earth afraid or to be cowering. Like Jared was saying, we need to be the light. We need to walk as believers where people say, I want what they have. Or when we walk into a room, people say, whoa, whoa, what just shifted? Something happened. Right? It's the authority. I need to wrap this up. If you want to come on up, Jamie. I was asking the Lord how we kind of end this. Jared, do you want to come on out? Thank you. He's already there. It's kind of a commissioning to come back to the first love, right? That's all. Maybe we could stand. I think I'm just going to pray for you, and then I'll have Jamie, Pastor Jamie, take over. Lord Jesus, we honor you this morning. We exalt your name above every other name. We thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your compassion, for your heart that is to show us who we are in Christ. That is your plan, so we can partner with you and walk through this earth in your power, in your peace, in your joy, in your purpose. It takes us shifting our beliefs sometimes, aligning our beliefs with you, Father God. What your word says about us, what your word says about you, Father. May you equip us and empower us to spend that intimate time with you. May we not make it about our own agenda, but may we make it about yours, what your plans are. Jesus, we love you.
Did you catch the theme today? There was a theme. These three speakers didn't talk to one another. Multiple ones used the same verses. It started out with, you're worthy. Some of you needed to be reminded this morning, you're worthy. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're made in his image, and you're worthy. I love what Clint said. There's nothing in this world our Father can't do, but he won't interfere with our free will. He works with our willingness to submit to his will. We are never beyond redemption. And then Jared challenged us. You were created with purpose and intentionality. Adam and Eve lost sight of the image of God, which led them into temptation and sin. But if we're vulnerable before God, we can't put on enough covering to hide our sins. Go to the Lord. Be vulnerable. Allow him to remind you of who you are. And then finishing out with my wife sharing and being married to her and seeing 27 years ago where we started out. When she said she had insecurity, she wasn't lying. The enemy had beat her up and torn her down through a car accident in her childhood and multiple surgeries, and she felt less than and felt there's no way God could use her. And that's some of you today. But we have Clint up here saying, you can't go too far and get away from God. We have Jared sharing, God brought me out of depression. And then we have her sharing, I know who I am in Christ today. And if I can do it, you can do it. And if there's any peasants out here and you're thinking, the peasants is a thinking. You don't realize you're royalty. And God wants you to be royalty, to sit on the throne with him and to get rid of peasant thinking. And today is about getting rid of peasant thinking. It's about knowing who we are and being worthy because he makes us worthy. I can feel his presence in you. He's about to do some work on you. He is not going to drag you up here. You have to choose to be vulnerable. Do what our speaker said. Be vulnerable. And let the Lord begin a new work in you today. Today is the day. So ministry team, would you come forward? And as they're coming up, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. I want you to examine your heart. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone in this room that has peasant thinking, may the scales come off their eyes today. May you give them the courage to come forward for prayer. May you show them they are royalty. Show them they are worthy. Show them you have plans and purposes for their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is your opportunity. If you would like prayer, I encourage you to come up. My wife and I will come up. The pastoral team will be up here to pray with you. And have a blessed day. And but I think God wants to do some work here right now. So if he's tugging on your heart, come forward.